Yo, dog, T-Bone here. Welcome to the White Noise Podcast. One thing before we start, though, you better know we ain't got no sorts of affiliations with Gawker Media or Gizmodo. If you want more info, hit us up on our webpage at thewhitenoisepodcast.com or head on over to Twitter, tweet at us, man. Hit us up on Twitter at Noisecast. Holla at your boys, dog. Oh, and girls, too, as applicable.
What you are about to hear is real. It has not been edited or enhanced. It is the voice of White Noise.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 8 of the White Noise Podcast, your post-Thanksgiving turkey edition. Welcome to a new and improved podcast with a new website, a new Twitter, a new look and feel. Actually, no, same look and feel. But to put it as Gonzo recently said, we're professional now because we have a website. This is a show, of course, about technology, gadgets, industry gossip, and pretty much whatever floats our boat sometimes. And we have a special episode lined up for you tonight with a very cozy crew. Starting off with Vito Number 9 joining us.
Yes, sir.
We have Kaiser Machead.
Yep.
Benguin is also here.
Why, hello, everybody.
And, of course, the ever-present Gonzo Rider.
I'm doing this nude in front of my fireplace.
Sexy.
Welcome.
Hear that, people? We're fucking professional.
That's right. And for you wondering what the hell it is that I'm blabbering about a new look, new everything, first off, I want to just re-mention, we mentioned it, yes, last podcast, but we do have a new Twitter, which is Noisecast. Rest in peace, Wallet Pizza. So now you can follow us on Twitter. If you're already following us, it should update automatically. Otherwise, if you weren't following us, you should follow us. Twitter.com/Noisecast. And also, thanks to Rentourage, we have an entirely kick-ass redesign to our website, thewhitenoisepodcast.com. And if you go to it, not only will you be able to see our Twitter feed on there, but you also will be able to listen to all previous episodes streamed live. If you click on one of the episodes and then hit the little details button in the little playlist window, you will get probably a little blurb of the show notes with a link to them. And also, there's a separate link on there to our show notes blog where you can catch all the show notes, links, and pretty much everything we discussed on the every episode we've recorded. And of course, you have the usual iTunes link, Zoom link, Feedburner, and stuff. But it is awesome.
It is pretty great. Yeah. I want to make love to this website.
Yes, asked. It is that awesome. And we also do have a Facebook fan page now, which thanks to Benguin, he set it up a short while ago.
You are welcome.
And if you just go to Facebook and you do a quick search for the White Noise Podcast, it should be the only one that shows up. Well, that one and I Love the UK Dance Scene.
Which we all do, obviously.
But that should we'll probably be getting a link on the website about with that soon. But this was all just pretty recent. And, well, tonight's episode, we're pretty much winging it. We're all in our post-Thanksgiving food coma.
Yes, post-Thanksgiving.
We're lying to you. We're actually recording this on Black Wednesday.
Wait, Black Wednesday. Is that a racial joke, sir?
Well, Thanksgiving.
Why does it have to be black?
Eve is not good enough for you.
Thanksgiving. Well, isn't it called Black Wednesday?
I've is never really called that.
Yeah, I think you're just pulling shit out of your ass.
Well, everything. Well, yeah, Black Friday.
You're pulling a Black Wednesday out of your ass. How's that feel?
No. Yeah, why does Christmas get Eve and Thanksgiving get squat?
Well, maybe we call it. Is there such thing as Black Thursday?
That's Thanksgiving.
Oh. No, it's Black Friday, you dumbass.
Black Thursday?
Hey, the whole black thing refers to, like, you know, stores being in the black because of all the shopping people are doing.
I believe it's Chinese Thursday, actually.
Chinese Thursday.
What the fuck?
Oh, boy.
We haven't offended the Asians yet.
No, last week I took care of Canadians, and this week we're doing the Asians.
I don't know. You know what? The only reason I said Black Wednesday is because somebody mentioned that the other day. I was like talking about, you know, like Wednesday is the busiest bar night of the year. And they're like, oh, yeah, Black Wednesday. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess it's called Black Wednesday. I never really decided to question that at all. But I guess that person was wrong, and therefore I am wrong.
If you Google you Black get. Wednesday, apparently it's a British thing in September of 92. You're way wrong.
Only the most up-to-date news on the White Noise Podcast.
We got into our time machine, went back in time.
Or, according to Urban Dictionary, you're right, it's the biggest party night of the year.
Oh, well, ha, Urban Dictionary validates me.
Yeah, Urban Dictionary also says white noise is ejaculating in somebody's ear, so...
Which is exactly what we're doing right now.
Yes, we're providing...
into your eardrum.
Yeah.
We're forcing orgasms into your ear.
White Noise Podcast, the ejaculation of the century.
So much for trying to grow up and become more professional.
No, we're starting now, we're getting serious.
All right.
Well, first off in technology news, Axl Rose sues Guitar Hero for $20 million.
Woo!
No, he doesn't. It took him fucking 15 years. 15 years to come out with Chinese Democracy, and that shit sucked.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It was absolutely fucking horrible. You want to know what it should look like when you take over a decade to come out with something? Look at StarCraft II. Blizzard fucking did it right. Axl Rose, fuck you. You suck. You're not going to get $20 million out of anybody. Not your shitty-ass records or Activision.
Ladies and
piss
gentlemen.
Off.
That was
and
veto
fucking
number nine.
Upgrade your hair.
That was veto number nine, the major proponent of making this white noise more mature and more grown up.
Maybe Axl Rose was getting tips from Gene Simmons.
Well, pretty much.
He wants to sue everyone.
Well, pretty much what he's saying is that he's suing Guitar Hero because he actually signed off on Welcome to the Jungle. Welcome to the Jungle. But
nice solo there.
There was. He signed off on it under one condition, and that is do not put any music by Velvet Revolver, which pretty much has the guitarist Slash, which is also Axl Rose's former bandmate and arch nemesis of all time.
Well, pretty much everyone is Axl Rose's arch nemesis of all time.
Well, Guitar Hero 3 actually offered a bunch of Velvet Revolver songs. And they made Slash their game spokesperson.
Well, if I remember correctly, actually, I think the Velvet Revolver stuff was all DLC.
Well, it was part of the Legends of Rock expansion.
Well, see, the way that Rock Band and Guitar Hero both work is they offer downloadable content for their game, right? But it's playable across all of them. So if you have downloadable
actually, that's
content
not true with
from,
Guitar Hero.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's Guitar Hero 3, I believe.
Someone's getting
DLC schooled. Isn't cross-compatible with like their other games. I think some of the newest ones, like Guitar Hero 5 and Band Hero, I think those are. But the older titles, I'm fairly certain, are not compatible with each other.
No.
Rock Band is, so that's why Rock Band's better. One of the many reasons.
And it doesn't have shitty music.
Yeah, that too. Anyways,
we'd be a fake guitar-playing snob.
I am a fake guitar playing snob. I think that Penguin can actually play guitar. I cannot. I don't even have enough fingers to play fake guitar. I can't go past hard because my pinky doesn't work. But that's a story for another podcast. Anyways, on the original disc, they didn't have any Velvet Revolver songs. That didn't come until later with the downloadable content. So technically, Activision fulfilled their end of the deal. They didn't offer any Velvet Revolver on the disc itself.
Yeah, that's
what
I was just
saying. He's looking for money because it took him 15 years to make a shitty album, and he lost money that whole time.
Well, according to Axl Rose, Activision, quote-unquote, began spinning a web of lies and deception to conceal its true intentions, to not only feature Slash and VR prominently, but to also promote the game by emphasizing and reinforcing an association between Slash and Guns N' Roses and the song Welcome to the Jungle. Activision spinning a web of lies and deception to hide its
true
intentions.
Isn't that the last Spider-Man game?
I don't know, but it's funny how you get these overly exaggerated public statements from figures behind a lawsuit. You know, did they really have hidden intentions? Were they hiding in the shadows with like a mask on, trying to touch his babies? No,
I'd like to think so. That's more interesting.
That's what Activision does. No, I don't know. But, yes, what will happen with this lawsuit? I don't know.
Probably
nothing.
It'll go nowhere, most likely. But good luck to you, Axl Rose.
Just like Chinese democracy. Oh!
Ooh.
Yeah, that really didn't go anywhere. I remember going into Best Buy, and they had, like, a huge display set up. And for, like, weeks after the album came out, and it was still full. Nobody bought it.
Actually, Chinese democracy was never on my list of three vaporware items that I wanted to get.
Yeah, see, unlike a lot of other things like Duke Nukem or StarCraft Ghost, people stopped caring about Chinese democracy a long
Seriously.
Time.
I think my top three are actually all coming out this year. One came out just today, which was Gran Turismo 5. That was one of my number two vaporware. Duke Nukem Forever is also coming out soon, finally, after 13 years. And also Dr. Dre's Detox, which I don't really listen to hip-hop at all anymore, but I've been waiting for that for like 10 years.
Yo, see, mine was Duke Nukem. Obviously, if you're a gamer and you don't like Duke Nukem, what the fuck's wrong with you? StarCraft Ghost, still waiting. Blizzard, fucking assholes. I don't think I had a third one. I think it was just those two.
Phantom.
Oh, the Phantom Box?
can we say that if you don't like Duke Nukem, you are pro-breast cancer?
Sure, let's go ahead and
you
say
can
that.
Try.
That
isn't like the whole breast cancer thing, like, you know, to support, like, you know, fight against breast cancer is because you love boobies. Have you ever seen those, like, little wristbands, those, like, rubber ones that say, I love boobies on them?
Yes.
Yes, you know, for breast cancer?
No,
no one else
not.
Is hip.
I'm not with it.
Well,
and you don't like boobs.
Oh, just, I love boobs.
If you don't like boobs, yeah, probably hate Duke Nukem. If you don't like Duke Nukem, you hate boobs.
Duke Nukem loves boobs.
If you don't like Duke Nukem, you're pro cancer. And yeah, we just labeled you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awkward silence.
But
next topic.
on the topic of Gran Turismo 5 getting released today, Black Friday deals are coming earlier and earlier every year, it seems. I know we were getting a whole bunch of retailers doing Black Friday deals at least a week, sometimes even 2 weeks earlier than the actual date of Black Friday this year. Did anybody else notice that?
Yeah, it seemed to me like everything was coming up really early. Like, it was... People were advertising their Black Friday sales like, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but if one does, they all have to, basically. You know, people will be rushing into this store, whereas it's sort of like what the banks were doing. You know, banks had longer hours in certain branches, then banks followed suit. So that's pretty much what all the stores are doing. Like, they're all just like, I don't know who starts it, but I did notice that. You see, like, what was it? You said, like, 2 weeks. I saw these deals, I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
I'm going to camp out in front of a store in like 2 weeks before Thanksgiving.
Well, some of them were even making the deals available 2 weeks ago. Like, you know, get your early Black Friday deals.
Well, I suppose I can appreciate that just so people aren't fucking trampling each other on Friday morning.
Well,
they still will.
I know Newegg.com has a thing. I've been getting like multiple emails from them every day. They call it Black November, where they just have huge sales every single day. Like, I just bought a buddy of mine. I got him a case, a brand new computer case, and a 500-watt power supply with two 12-volt rails together was $40.
Wow. But so, I know Newegg was also doing a deal with a bundle for like a 46-inch LED TV high definition with a Sony Blu-ray player and with, like, you know, the Shrek Blu-ray DVD or something like that, all for like, I think, $1,400. So they're really lame. And the TV alone usually retails for like $1,800, and you're getting all three for around $1,400. But yeah, some pretty crazy deals out nowadays. However, if you are interested in buying a flat screen TV and you're willing to wait till after the Super Bowl.
Really? Yes, what's that?
Yeah, that's always the best time of the year to buy TVs.
After the Super Bowl is because it's right after the Super Bowl rush where everybody's buying a TV. And that's after the Super Bowl, since the demand becomes so low, they jack the prices down a lot. You can finally.
It's the same reason, you know, you want to buy like an overcoat in spring or something like that, just because demand is low and so prices go down.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not going to be getting a new TV for a long time.
No, I think Walmart honors has like a little honor system where, because I know somebody that did this last year. They bought their TV before the Super Bowl, and then they brought it back after. They had like a 14-day return policy. Brought it back, and just brought the receipt back, and they gave them the difference back in cash of what the new price is versus the old one. So
interesting.
Just food for thought.
As someone who knows everything there's know about Walmart, because I lived like 20 minutes from the home office, Walmart will take anything back. They'll take broken light bulbs. You don't even have to buy it at Walmart. You can return it there and they'll give you money back. Or at least they used to.
Have you done this?
Yes.
Multiple times.
My mom used to take broken light bulbs there and return them. And get new light bulbs that worked.
Defrauding an institution.
A blameless investigation.
Whatever.
Moving along to a story posted by Ars Technica involving smartphone data usage and unlimited data plans. I'm going to throw this over to Gonzo since he knows more about this than I do. Gonzo, give us a little bit of a rundown and your thoughts on this article, what it's about and what it's talking about.
Basically, what this article is saying is that when people go out to buy a smartphone, they're more likely to get one and pay more for a plan that has unlimited data than buying into the tiered system. So, more data is more important than having a lower price option. They don't want to be cut off at, like, AT&T has a $15 tier that's, like, 200 megabytes. People don't want that. They would rather go somewhere where they can get unlimited data and get as much as they want and not have to worry about going over.
Now, we should clarify that this is speaking about the majority of smartphone users, because I know that I was talking to my mom about getting a smartphone, because right now she's just got a little flip phone with T-Mobile, and I was talking to her about getting an Android because they're having all their crazy deals, and she could get one for relatively cheap because it's time for her to get an upgrade anyway. So for her personal use, for the amount that she would use it, something like AT&T's little tiered $15 plan would be perfect. Because, I mean, the only thing she's going to do is, like, download pictures of my kids from the Dropbox, send some emails. I don't even think she has an email address. So for some people, the tiered data plan makes sense. But, yes, for the majority of people, like the guy like me or Steven or Ben or whoever is going to go out and spend $200 to $300 on a phone, then yeah, the unlimited data definitely makes a lot more sense. because I blow through data like it's my job sometimes. I'll go over 2 gigs in a month easily.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I probably pay a little too much for an unlimited data plan that I don't necessarily maybe need, but I like having that peace of mind that I can go over it if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. But
well, see, I'm lucky because I'm grandfathered into the AT&T $30 unlimited one.
Yeah,
and
me too.
Now, and so see, much. Now if you want to get 2 gigs, it's $25, which I'm like, I use more than 2 gigs because I'm on my phone all the time.
Yeah.
See, the thing is that when you're on your phone, are you usually in a Wi-Fi accessible location?
Yeah, but I never use it.
See, because for me with my iPhone, when I had it, I was always, no matter where I would go, whether it was at school or whether it was home or work, I'd always be at a Wi-Fi hotspot of some sort. So my phone usage in terms of 3G data was very, very slim, because anywhere I would go, there'd be Wi-Fi.
So yeah, I don't tend to actually find too much like public open Wi-Fi. So I'm actually on 3G most of the time. If I'm not at home, then I'm on 3G.
I think the most I ever used with 3G was when I jailbroke my phone for the first time and used it to tether on my laptop. But that was before, you know, iOS 4, when my phone became a brick.
Over here, we have a free open Wi-Fi here, but it's shit. It doesn't do anything. You connect to it, and it's like you might as well not bother.
And that's is that New York City?
Yeah, I guess it is, because, you know, you join this open free Wi-Fi, and it's like, what is this shit? So you go, oh, good, I have free Wi-Fi.
You know, I remember seeing something about that, like on Moto or Lifehacker before, like how it's a scam, and they're trying to steal your data.
Well, there was, go ahead. Trolls,
oh, sorry, it's like, what, just trolls walking around with routers or something, just like, sniffing people's data?
I don't remember the specific details, but it's something like they set up like an ad hoc network, and you connect to it, and then they kind of have access to your info if you're not locked down very well. I don't remember the specifics. You could probably look it up better, but
There's in a lot of places there's something called HP setup, which doesn't. It's an ad hoc Wi-Fi. This one, and you know the hell if I know what it does. I even find it in the subway.
Yeah, you can always tell at work. Where I work, we all get laptops now, like all the new stuff for like the last 2 years. When you get a new computer, you're getting a new laptop. And you can always tell when somebody gets a new laptop because they haven't turned off the ad hoc network, and the little wireless thing will pop up saying, hey, there's a new network nearby. So it's just something that comes activated by default.
I mean, public Wi-Fi, like a citywide Wi-Fi was hailed to be, you know, the next big thing years ago. And I remember going to San Jose, I want to say in 2008, for Google Developer Days, and they had actual citywide Wi-Fi, but it was just absolutely horrendous. It was like worse than 56K, and it barely worked. But it seems nowadays with the whole upcoming 4G phenomenon, is free public Wi-Fi, citywide Wi-Fi becoming a little bit obsolete already?
Well, if they're using the 4G, then it might be, it'd probably be a more viable solution. It might be more useful, but I know I go to the mall, and the wireless at the mall is so fucking slow that I don't even turn it on anymore. It's just faster to use 3G. So, I mean, I can't imagine how a citywide Wi-Fi network would be. And if they can't even keep it running at a mall, what the hell are you going to do in a big city, you know?
The problem is it's just, you have to have so much. It costs so much to have enough bandwidth for everyone to use.
Yeah.
It's just not practical.
Well, I remember there was a story a while back, a few months ago, some small town that has municipal Wi-Fi, they got to shut off because someone was torrenting stuff. So let the RIA shut them down.
That's what I would do if they had that around here.
This is why we can't have nice things.
If you purchase a laptop nowadays anyway, if you're customizing it at least, you get the option of putting in a wireless card that has 4G already integrated into it. I think you get the option of either Bluetooth or 4G on the same card. So it seems like it's becoming a standard staple in all laptops that are coming out over the next few years. So,
well, now here's a question I have for you guys though: would you rather have integrated, you know, 3G, 4G in your laptop or whatever, or would you just rather have like a MiFi card? Because I personally, I feel I would rather have the latter just so I can, you know, connect whatever I want to it, not just that one computer.
I think I would rather have a laptop that has it all integrated than have a little MiFi device, personally, because the less stuff I carry, the happier I am.
Well, and I would probably prefer the MiFi only because, you know, if when I upgrade my computer, I'll still have that. You know, if I don't bother paying again to have something that has the integrated cellular antenna. I don't know. I just like being able to just choose what I want to connect to the internet rather than just the laptop.
I tether with my phone, so I guess it's kind of like having a MiFi, but it doesn't add any more parts to what I'm already carrying anyway. I can see what Callus is saying, like having it integrated, because it reduces the amount of clutter, and I see what Kaiser's saying too, just because if you're upgrading like every couple of years, the you're gonna have to pay extra for the added on to the laptop anyway. But if you got the MiFi, you could just connect it like a Wi-Fi network. So I could see both ends of the spectrum there. But since I just plug in my phone to the USB, suckers.
So is that really the only difference between using a MiFi versus tethering? Is just one's USB connected, the other is not?
Basically.
Now, how does this affect the battery life at all? Like, I mean, the phone is feeding off of the computer too, isn't it?
Well, see, when it's plugged into the USB, it's just running off the computer power anyway.
Yeah.
It's charging the battery while it's draining the battery, so it doesn't go anywhere. I've actually played World of Warcraft for a couple of hours on my laptop, and the phone finished charging while it was streaming the internet to me. So,
you're an addict.
A little bit.
Well, no, this is not as bad as the guy that the Panini guy. You know, the guy who walked
the iMac into Panera Bread.
Yes.
No one beats this guy.
What? Wait. What happened?
This was a few months ago. This guy, the chain Panera Bread. I'm pretty sure at all their locations they offer free Wi-Fi.
Yep,
and he actually brought in a whole iMac and set it up and was playing World of Warcraft.
It was one of the 22-inch jobs too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a big one.
It was one of the big ones.
Oh, because I remember reading a similar story, but it was a guy who brought in like his Xbox and a little tiny little TV screen.
Yeah, I've seen that one too. But this guy was photographed multiple times at Panera Bread with his World of Warcraft up.
Oh God!
And it's not like some 20-year-old guy. This guy was like mid-50s.
He was an old guy.
60s.
Yeah, he was like in his 50s.
He couldn't afford internet at home, but he could afford his World of Warcraft subscription.
That's your
and a sandwich.
That's your standard female blood elf right there.
Maybe he just wanted his hormone-free chicken. You don't know.
Maybe. did you know that you can now text message your local authorities in case of an emergency?
Oh, thank God.
Yes.
Because calling them was too hard.
Apparently the FCC wants to implement being able to text message and mobile video your local 911 call center in case of an emergency. Which, actually, the mobile video makes sense, you know, like...
Yeah, that one kind of does.
You know, you sneak a little 911 FaceTime and, like, hold your iPod or your iPhone up a little bit to reveal your attacker. But the text messaging one, well...
OMFG, I'm dying.
I guess it's good for like the times that you can't talk, you know, because you're hiding in a closet.
I suppose. That's a good point.
You can send them a picture message.
I can see that, but I don't see it catching on for the main reason of costing money. You'd have to get every single municipality to come up with some system to accept these texts.
Well, I would assume that the FCC would make it mandatory that, you know, because it is a 911 call, you don't get charged for it. Because I don't think you get charged minutes if you call 911 from your cell phone.
No, you can actually call 911 without a SIM card even installed in your phone, I believe.
Right, yeah. It's a standard emergency number. And if you're living in overseas, it's probably 112, I think, is the international emergency hotline. But... No, I think that if the FCC does push this, it'll probably require all municipalities and all carriers not to charge you for your text message or your FaceTime.
Yeah, well, I was giggling a little bit earlier when we started this conversation, and that's because it was running through my head. Somebody's like getting kidnapped or chased by some psycho killer, and they've got the text up, and their fingers hovering over the send button, and all they can think is, "Fuck, I don't have a text plan."
Oh, that'd make a really great commercial for some company to bash another one.
With the Allstate guy.
But it wouldn't be a big deal because it doesn't really... I remember reading an article a long time ago. It doesn't really cost companies any money to send a text message because it just piggybacks on other data. So they just charge out the ask for it anyway, or they used to.
It costs them more bandwidth to send a 2-minute phone call than it does your entire... every bit of your fucking text messaging. It costs so much more to pass voice data than it does... a couple of ones and zeros for a text message. It's just it's ridiculous. They just charge so much for it because they've been able to get away with it.
Sometimes I wish I still had my text messaging plan back from like when I first got a cell phone. Back before T-Mobile, there was a company called VoiceStream. I don't know if any of you are familiar with it or remember it. Maybe it was just local here in Chicago. But they, instead of text messages, they called them ping pong messages. And for $5 a month, you get 5,000 of them.
Whoa.
Yeah, for $5 a month. Because this was like back when like texting was, you know, didn't really exist, you know, in the capacity that we know it nowadays. So for $5 a month, it's like, here's 5,000 of them. Do whatever you want. And I was like, oh, sweet. And back then, they didn't have restrictions on who they go to or where they go to. So here I am texting, you know, Europe and Canada and California and all this shit on my little 5,000 text messaging plan. And I still wish I had that plan until T-Mobile came around and sort of, I got like a $300 charge on my cell phone bill.
Awesome. Out of curiosity, how many text messages do you usually use in a month, like all of you guys?
I was over 2,000 regularly when I had my iPhone and it was counting them for me. I would go over 2,000 in like the first 3 weeks. I had no choice but to get an unlimited plan.
Yeah, I think I got to that point where I was at around 1,500 a month.
Gar, Robo Steven.
I've never hit over 200 because I'm not important enough like you people are.
You know, most of the time I've never went over 200, but this month I'm at almost 5,000. So.
Wow. Holy shit, dude. I don't think I've ever gotten that high.
How much did you say?
This month, like, I'm at almost 5,000 text messages with 3 days left in the billing cycle.
Do you breathe or like live at all?
No. See, the thing is, most months I only send about 200, but this is a heavy month, I guess.
Yeah, I've sent over 1,000 this month.
Did you discover a new phone sex line, phone sex operator?
Possibly.
Ben, are you sure that you're not actually a 15-year-old girl?
It could be. I'm actually just texting myself just to make the number go up.
I'm inflating my numbers.
I want to skew the statistics. Oh boy! $80
for it. Might as well abuse it, right?
You're using the Skype Beta for Mac, aren't you, Ben?
Yes.
How's it going for you?
This week's edition of Benguin's review is not a happy one, folks. Skype Beta for Mac. I don't know. It's beta. Let me check.
Sucks ass.
Yes, thank you. Wait, what he said. Beta, steal my thunder, but it sucks. Don't fucking use it. If you are on a Mac and it gives you the option to upgrade to the latest beta, for love of God, hit no, because it fucking sucks. It's so busy and it's confusing how to fucking do anything, and the whole interface sucks. It sucks, it sucks. Don't fucking use it.
Wow.
That's a very critical review. Would you like
tell to tell us how you really feel?
Have I mentioned that I don't like it?
Okay, how about why you don't like it?
Well, like they fucked around with the interface and everything's all jumbled together and everything's confusing and it sucks. That's all I can say is it fucking sucks. And now I can't get this stupid about Skype window to go away. I know what version I'm using now, thank you, and there it goes. So, fuck Skype Beta 5. Whatever it is.
Well, maybe you should read through the About Skype section. Maybe that's what it's waiting for you to do.
I guess so.
We'll stop sucking as soon as you read.
So yeah, in summation, you know, don't use it. It's bad.
Well, hopefully the release version won't be as bad as your experience.
We hope so.
But, all right. Palm WebOS Anyo was revealed this week to pave the way for tablets and larger devices. How many devices does Palm have? Two, right? The Pre and the Pixie, and then they just sort of made an addendum for each one.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It's interesting to see how... I mean, WebOS 2.0 was released, and or was demoed, rather. I don't know, was it released, demoed? Can't remember. But
who gives a shit?
Yes, pretty much who gives a shit. But a company with only... Well, it's run by HP now, but... Interesting to see how Anyo will stack up against this quickly becoming oversaturated market of tablets.
You know, I didn't use WebOS too much, but a friend of mine did have a Pre, and I played with it a bit, and it seemed like a pretty solid operating system, and it seemed pretty good, so who knows, maybe it could be good for the tablet world, too.
Well, anybody I've ever seen review it is saying that the WebOS system is phenomenal beyond belief. It's probably one of the most polished, quickest, and most efficient mobile OS is out there. It's just that the devices, the hardware, is what's bogging it down. That's what they say. So, does anybody here have a Palm?
No.
No, we use good phones, sir.
Yeah. You know, we don't use pieces of shit.
Well, they're owned by HP now, so that sort of tells you...
Yeah, it doesn't give me a lot of...
you know the hardware quality just went to shit.
Well, I mean, it was shit to begin with, but still.
Anyway, call recording.
I love how the conversation is just chugging steadily along, and then we get to Palm, and everybody's like, chirp,
yeah.
chirp.
We're never talking about them again on this podcast.
That pretty much goes to show, you know, Palm's relationship with the tech community. Nobody kind of cares anymore.
Sorry, Palm. No endorsement will get you back on this podcast.
Although, if you pay us, maybe we'll like you.
No, if they pay me, I'll streak through the streets for them.
Don't pay us then, after all.
Big Palm logo painted on your chest.
Yeah.
Hear that, Palm? You will have a Puerto Rican streaking through the streets of Brooklyn with
Palm.
Yeah,
I am a whore. I am a whore. Pay me and I will streak for you.
Hey, Kaiser, what's your PayPal address?
Gmail is rolling out call recording. Gmail is rolling out call recording slowly to everybody who uses Google Voice. So we should be seeing like app updates and stuff like that coming out soon. But, call recording.
It's neat, I guess.
Is that for all of their devices that support Google Voice, or is it just for computers, like PCs, Macs, whatever?
But, I mean, aren't there, like, rules about the... I don't know anything about this, but aren't there certain rules about recording calls? I mean, I know, obviously, it's going to have to notify the other person that you actually...
Not in every state. Support. You don't have to notify in every state if you're recording a phone call.
No? And I'm pretty sure unless I'm completely off base here, as long as one person knows it's being recorded, that's good enough.
In some states, both parties have to know. But, like, remember the show Crank Anchors?
Yeah.
Yes.
They always made all those phone calls from Nevada, because if you call from Nevada, you don't have to tell them that you're recording the phone call.
Yeah, I think here in California, you have to let the other party know, and they have to give consent that it could be recorded.
Well, yeah, so I'm guessing it would have to be something they would do. I don't see Google dividing this between the states specifically.
Well, here's what it says though. It says that in order to activate it, you pretty much hit the number 4 on your keypad to activate it. But it's only available on inbound calls, meaning that you can only do it when somebody calls you, and
There is a verbal notification given to both parties on the call that recording has been activated.
Yeah. That's how they'll get around it, yeah.
But so that's how it's becoming, you know, legal per se. But it doesn't work from calls that are routed directly from one Gmail contact to another. Because I know isn't there some sort of Google Voice implementation inside Gmail?
Yeah.
They just did that recently, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't work in that. It just works on Google Voice. Whether it's on mobile or not, probably, it would make sense that it is. But I hope that the person that gives you the warning sounds as awesome as the Skype test recording girl.
Yeah, she's cool.
I call her when I get lonely.
We'll call her right now.
So she can play back my tears.
No, I was surprised that you guys didn't know that she was British.
I don't remember her being British.
I thought it was
British.
Obvious.
Well, here we go.
I haven't called her in a while.
This can be our special guest.
Hello,
week.
Welcome to Skype call testing service. After the beep, please record a message. Afterwards, your message will be played back to you.
Everyone, I like turtles.
Beep.
Everybody, welcome our special guest, the Skype test call girl who has a ponytail and a headset.
Cool beans. Everybody, I like turtles.
Beep.
Everybody, welcome our special guest, the Skype test call girl who has a ponytail and a headset.
Fine, that is exhilarating.
The Skype test call girl.
If you are able to hear your own voice, then you have configured Skype correctly. If you hear this message, but not your own voice, then something is wrong with your audio recording settings. Please check your microphone and microphone settings or visit Skype.com for more help. Thank you for using the Skype call testing service. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
There's something wrong with my voice settings because I kept hearing Gonzo's voice instead of mine.
Yeah, well,
that must have been a podcast first.
I'm
history
dominated.
Has been made.
Yes. Our special guest, we'd like to thank you, Skype test call lady.
We love you.
Skype test call girl.
Be nice if we should
wait. I think I might have put the emphasis on the wrong word there.
I'll be getting a bill for that one. But Mozilla is planning a app store to everyone's seething excitement.
Yawn.
I'm not really that excited.
Is everybody
and
getting...
they're echoed through the hills, a resounding meh.
Is everybody getting an app store these days? Who isn't getting an app store?
Yeah, I think everybody's getting one, and it's kind of lame.
There should be an app store for other app stores.
That would be awesome.
Woo!
That'd be like a meta app store?
There's built-in emulators for apps from other app stores.
There we go.
That's a moneymaker. Haha, who said this episode would be on the little dry side?
Exterminate.
Apparently we pissed off our robot overlords and they're invading Steven's microphone.
I don't know what's going on today.
You know what it is? It's because we're doing it live.
We're doing it live!
We're having technical difficulties.
This is not on the usual day. It's mad at
fucking
us.
Fucking thing sucks!
Is it back to normal?
It was. Now it's not.
Fuck it.
Screw it. I'll be reincarnated as Robot Steven.
It's like half-assed auto-tune.
Hey, this is the White Noise Podcast.
Oh, man.
Oh,
that
shit.
Was perfect.
Wow. That actually worked very well.
For some reason, Skype lost auto-tune me.
Steven, I'm going to let you finish, but...
Is it back to normal?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
No. Oh, yeah.
Verse 2 will come whenever I become Robot Steven again. This is the Halloween edition. It'd be cool.
No, but it's the Thanksgiving edition.
Instead of turning into a werewolf, I turn into T-Pain.
I'm T-Pain.
Speaking of apps, how is that like the number one most selling app ever? The T-Pain Auto-Tune app.
I have never used this shit.
Apparently, yeah. It was like number one in the App Store for months. Like, everybody was like, oh, I want to be T-Pain.
Apparently you do want to be ZK.
Well, the show must go on, even with T. Steven here. Oh boy. Should the CEO and company be held accountable for what users put in the cloud for their own use? Apparently, EMI thinks they should.
EMI does. I was reading that article, and it's really kind of bizarre, like, what they're trying to do. They're saying that, like, the company is, like, gaining money from users uploading copyrighted songs, but they're not being able to share them. It's just so they can listen to them wherever. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to do? Identify each and every single track and, like, moderate this stuff on the cloud? Like,
well, it's not like they're sharing it with other people. Like, you can't listen to another user's music. It's just you upload your songs, and you can listen to them, you know, wherever you are on any device.
Yeah. It's like checking your email from your computer or your phone.
Exactly.
And the effect would be no different than you basically sharing this song stored locally on your media player.
Or like a Dropbox.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, the Dropbox is... Here's the thing about Dropbox is that you can share the stuff on it. I don't know if MP3 tunes or whoever it is assuming gives you the option to share. But...
Wow.
Well, do you guys remember MySpace before it was MySpace?
Yeah.
Before MySpace was the ever so successful social networking site, it was a music storage site that went defunct. It was you'd upload your music there and access it online. This was back in the early 2000s, and I think one of the pitfalls they had was because it was you were allowed to share your music as well as access it. I think that was one of the reasons that they got hit by whoever it was that was suing everybody back then, but. So maybe it's the same issue with this site. I don't know, but it poses an interesting question: is how far does your ownership of digital media go?
Dude, that was incredible. You just went from like crazy half-assed auto-tune to perfect audio in the middle of a thought.
Whoa, man!
I'm not that drunk yet, but that was fucked up.
I'm transforming.
We'll do it live. Okay. We'll do it live! Fuck it!
Oh, we're having too much fun.
There's no such thing.
And their MP3 tune just trying to say that they're protected by the DMCA, which they should be. They shouldn't be held liable for what people are doing with their own songs that they own, and they're just listening to them, you know, in a hotel somewhere.
Well, this goes back to the ever-long debate of Where does liability of the service reach its limits? Is it because the service is providing? I mean, it's like saying, is the boat that the drugs came on? Is the boat operator the drugs came on liable for bringing the drugs into the United States?
If he knows the drugs are there, yes.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that. I'm not sure if that can be. A proper comparison.
No.
Yes, it can. It's drugs, boats, and music. Come on.
Now, I think the problem that they're going to run into is they're specifically marketing it as an MP3 service. It's specifically being marketed as a music service. When you can upload all your stuff to Dropbox and give somebody else access to it, like if I was to upload a bunch of songs to my Dropbox and give Kaiser access to it, it's basically doing the same thing. But since Dropbox is like, hey, you can put your files here and share them with people, and they're not specifically saying, give all your music to everybody, that's where there's kind of a gray area. What people choose to use the service for and what it's specifically designed and marketing itself as is where there's going to be the issue.
Isn't the Pirate Bay sort of making the same argument that it's not directly controlling, it's not hosting any of the files, it doesn't know how people are using the files, it doesn't encourage whatever, it's just providing a means of transference?
Pretty much, yeah.
And therefore not liable. And I think the governments are arguing, well, by providing a means of transference that makes this possible, It's what makes them liable. So that's a big debate that's going on. I think a better analogy is I'm selling you a knife, but if you use it to kill, I'm not liable.
Maybe.
I suck at analogies, by the way.
The way I see this lawsuit is that this company lets a user upload songs to the cloud, and then when they're somewhere else away from their home computer, they can still listen to their songs, but they can't give access to another user, can't just swoop in and listen to their songs too.
I like that word, swoop in.
Unless they're buddies and they share an account or something.
When everybody says swoop in, I always imagine their face on the body of a vulture. You know, sort of like, wah! Down in like a desert.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. That's a good analogy. That's a good one. I'm going to put that in my little book of analogies.
Your little book of analogies. Are you studying for the ACT?
No. I already took that. And I was drunk and stuff.
And stuff. Okay, we're going to try to tackle something a little bit more serious, which is...
Oh, fuck.
Serious voices, serious faces. Department of Homeland Security is a main focus of a bill that's being shuffled around Capitol Hill right now, which evolves around the department getting some sort of regulatory control over private networks, which is called the Homeland Security Cyber and Physical Infrastructure Protection Act of 2010. Which makes you wonder if it doesn't get passed by the end of the year, does that get amended to of 2011?
I don't know.
Interesting. But it will empower the department to set cybersecurity standards for some private networks that are considered critical infrastructure. I think one of the big things that sort of set this off was the risk of pretty much the government getting hit back by a worm like the Stuxnet worm, which was set to attack Iranian and now possibly North Korean industry facilities that revolve around uranium production or nuclear production and invades their hardware and their industry. But this is what's caused a major concern amongst security professionals on Capitol Hill.
I don't have any idea what you're talking about, to be honest.
Well, that was our attempt at tackling a serious topic.
Well, and that's where you failed.
The way I see it, the people that are breaking the rules are, in this case, are generally smarter than the ones making the rules. So if you're going to try and lock them out, that's going to make all the angry geeks work even harder to break into the infrastructure and fuck it up.
Yeah, it's basically like telling a kid, hey, don't do that. And they're going to be like, well, fuck you. I'm going to do it anyway because you said I couldn't.
And I'm going to find a way to do it. Oh, you got all these security measures? Good luck with that. Wait till fucking 4chan gets a hold of it.
Well, it's interesting because the whole Stuxnet worm, are you guys are familiar with that or no? Well, the Stuxnet worm was pretty much, it's a virus, it's a worm that mysteriously appeared in Iran and sort of started infecting all of its computers that were directly involved with manufacturing and industry, specifically in the nuclear department, not nuclear, nuclear department. So anything that involved any of the factories, they got infected. And what's interesting about this is that all the signs, the people who have dissected it, they can't really figure out who made this. All the fingers seem to be pointing towards a collaboration of different governments, like, you know, Pentagon and, you know, James Bond and whoever else the governments are. But and now it's apparently being aimed at North Korea, and people still can't figure out, can't trace it back to who it's come from. But it's interesting. It's an interesting sort of sabotage thing that may or may not have started in this government alone.
Hmm.
So, if you like espionage, look up Stuxnet worm.
I've heard of it, but I didn't really read too much into it.
It's a cool little thing about cyber warfare and cyber espionage. I mean, like I said, nobody really knows what the hell it does. It's just there. It hasn't done anything.
It's just waiting.
Yeah, pretty much. Isn't that one program, Corn Ficker, Corn Fucker, Corn Licker?
Corn Flicker?
Corn Ficker.
Yes.
Is it Flicker or Ficker?
I like Corn Fucker better. We're going to call it Corn Fucker.
It might be Corn Ficker.
But yeah, I think it's Corn Ficker.
That one's still laying around dormant, isn't it?
No L. Corn Ficker. Also known as Down Up, Down It Up, and Kiddo.
Yeah, title of Kiddo, yeah.
Yeah.
That one's still laying dormant, I think. Not doing anything. It keeps spreading, though. It's Skynet in disguise.
Like herpes.
How cool would it be if it was Skynet on herpes?
That sounds terrible.
So basically it's taken over by electronic VD.
Serious topics, damn it.
We failed a serious topic.
VD is serious.
It's not VD anymore, Kaiser. It's STD.
STI.
Oh, yeah. Well, they never caught on. STI never caught on. We learned about it in high school.
Sexually transmitted infections.
Yes. Because disease was too harsh of a word. That's what the CDC thought.
Oh, fuck this soft fuck language. They don't know shit about shit, man. All they ever do is go around and shit all over my dick, and I'm tired of it. Fuck them. I don't even know what I'm...
Well, yeah, nobody really uses STI. We were told about it, you know, like the new word is STI because I think they changed it when I was in high school, but nobody uses it still. It's still STD.
I always like good old VD.
Yeah, VD works.
You weren't around when it was called VD.
Well, fuck you. And catch some VD.
It has to end in a D because it's got that real staccato sound and it's more fun to say than I.
Yes.
STI.
He just said staccato.
I think of STI, I think of like a goddamn Subaru or something.
New Subaru STI.
Now with herpes. Oh,
your Subaru comes equipped with STIs standard.
It comes.
Where was this on the auto tech?
We had an old homeless guy jizzle in the seats just for you.
Where was this on the auto tech episode?
I don't know. We should have talked about we should have talked about STDs.
The Subaru Outback HIV.
I wonder if like car companies have a list of acronyms they're not allowed to use because they could be associated with something else.
You know, the Buick LaCrosse had a different name when they sent it to Canada, right? Because French Canadians used LaCrosse as it was slang for masturbation, so they called it something else. In Canada,
what?
I thought lacrosse was a sport.
I swear to you,
it is. A sport.
It is a sport. But I swear this was on.
So in France, if you're playing lacrosse, you're just choking the chicken.
No, I said French Canadians. The Frenadians.
Oh. Okay.
Quebecois.
So you say I got a lacrosse match today with my buddies? You're just having a circle jerk? Because that's kind of cool. I can get behind that.
Not what I was going for, but all right.
Hey, anytime I get to use the term circle jerk in a conversation, I chalk it up as a win.
It was called the Buick Allure.
Well, just like the Avalon overseas is not the Avalon, it's the Avensis.
That's a better name.
Yeah, that sounds cooler.
Actually, my parents do have an Avensis, a Toyota Avensis. Granted, but it's the same thing. Although I find European cars to be much more awesome because they have like tiny weird names that go with them.
They do have better names. I'll give them that.
Like the Toyota, is it the Aygo? A-Y-G-O? Doesn't make any sense, but they have it.
Sure. I don't know. I've never been to Europe. Probably banned.
You're probably banned in Europe. Probably won't be banned in Europe after this podcast.
For lack of production values.
Looks like the Yaris.
The lack of any values.
Well, they brought the Yaris here. I don't know if it failed or not, because I really haven't seen many around.
Actually, my buddy and I almost bought a Yaris, and we were going to pay for it by donating plasma. But I was too big to fit in the Yaris.
Well, they brought the smart cars here. I've seen a few drive around.
Yeah, I've seen those.
I would I really hate... Well, they're expensive. It's like 15 grand for a little smart.
Yeah, fuck those things. They're not economical enough. I mean, no trunk, tiny ass, what is it, 3-cylinder engine in the back?
Yes.
That doesn't even get... Sorry?
You get a pimped-out version by Brabus, which pimps out Mercedes. They're like, 15-inch rims on there. And
15-inch.
I had one of those smart cars driving down Highway 80 behind my truck. Right now, I have a Dodge Ram 1500. And I did not realize that the smart car was behind me. It was so close, it disappeared from my mirrors. Had it not accidentally swayed outward a little bit and given me a peek of its side mirror, I wouldn't have known it was there. That's how small those things are.
Well, so it's like a ninja car?
It's like, those yellow and red plastic cars that kids like propel, like the Flintstones, with the hole in the bottom?
Yeah.
It's sort of like that, and you trip on that shit in the dark. It's sort of like that.
Well, I think there should be a limit as how small a car can get in this country, considering how big cars are on the road. Like, smart car versus, a Hummer H1. Gee. Who's going to survive that one?
That's going to be a fucking monster truck rally.
Dude, if I had hit my brakes and not known he was there, if I had slammed on my brakes, my trailer hitch would have gone right into the guy's face.
I don't care what your car's survival rating is, your safety rating. A smart car in this country has a 0% chance of survival unless it hits like a fire hydrant.
I'm pretty sure the fire hydrant would still win.
Oh, what about the Peel 500 P50? The one that Jeremy Clarkson drove in Top Gear, that tiny, tiny blue 3-wheel car.
Oh God,
has no reverse gear.
Push it.
Put your foot out the door.
You basically have to have enough clearance to just like turn around.
You pick it. You put your windows out, and you put your windows down. You pick it up from the sides.
Maybe if you like put it in neutral, you can like throw your weight back, and it'll just reverse.
Yeah, no, you have to. It's like you have to get like a telescopic paddle. You can just stick out the window and push off things.
You have an oar. It comes with a set of oars.
Kind of like the stick that the gondoliers have.
Yeah.
Just go back to riding horses.
Yeah, a horse can go in reverse, right?
You know what? I will ride a horse when I can ride 400 of them at the same time.
When you can ride 400 horses at the same time?
Yes, sir.
It's one big ass saddle.
Fucking Dodge Ram Hemi.
Yeah, but then 400 horses, I mean, do you care at all about speed? Because no matter how many horses, they're all going to be going the same speed.
I know.
Ride 400 horses at one time.
The bug parking mat.
And there goes your Subaru STI right there, buddy.
You guys heard about the Nissan Leaf, though, right? The all-electrics, dream car from Nissan that's like $35,000.
Meh.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Is it being overhyped by Nissan? Because I'm not really feeling it.
Yeah.
I haven't really heard much about it lately.
There was a huge blast about it back in September. The Nissan Leaf, pre-order it now. Pre-orders are like, $99 or something like that. Like you put $99 down and you could secure yourself a Nissan Leaf. But
so, so I can drive it like 60 miles and then I have to charge it up overnight. Fuck that.
It has a solar panel on top that'll recharge the battery for you. As long as you're not going faster than 35, I'm making this all up.
Even if you put a solar panel on a car, what if it's fucking cloudy? Like, it's cloudy a lot here. And it rains. Yeah,
the Prius, you can get the Prius with a solar panel on top, albeit, I think it's, close to 30 grand for that particular model. But the solar panel doesn't really provide enough power for, much more than the fans on the inside of the car.
No, it does not. It takes a long time to generate that much electricity.
Yeah.
You know what we need? We need, those old trolley systems that had, the electric wire on the top and the trolleys had a little thing that connected them. Sparks flew out everywhere.
Yeah!
That's what we need for cars.
Well, Well,
you can only run where the wires are.
sort of like a Scalextric track.
Yeah,
you know those little electric cars.
I don't know, but whatever. And think of it like this: it'll also prevent birds from coming down and shitting on your car.
How?
They'll avoid the wires.
Look at that. They'll just fly over and shit on you.
Well, maybe the wires will provide protection from the shit. I don't know. It'll cut the shit's fall.
Apparently, Steven's never parked under a tree.
How big are these fucking wires to block bird shit? Are we just going to encase all the roads in like a giant like plexiglass box?
Tubes. That's what we're doing, tubes.
We're going to travel in tubes.
Well, think about the job.
Carbon monoxide poisoning.
Well, the job market will solve unemployment because you'll need people being up there to sweep the and clean the shit off.
Dude, one ceiling. Fucking Taco Tuesday, that ruins your tube idea.
We'll be dead from driving around in tubes. There's no ventilation.
Oh, boy. I think we're done. We've officially reached our limit of being able to wing this episode.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
After we're talking about electric wires powering cars that have bird shit blocking abilities. That's the extent of this.
And this is why we can't have anything nice.
All right, let's kill this thing. Let's do a wrap up. Hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. Hope your food coma was treating you well.
Hope you didn't die on Black Friday or Chinese Thursday.
Or Black Wednesday.
Fucking A, man. I still don't believe in Black Wednesday.
Wednesday. I say Thanksgiving Eve. Fuck it.
I'll go with that. It's better than Black Wednesday.
Why is Black Wednesday not okay, but Black Friday is?
Well, who's shopping on Wednesday? People are, traveling and buying groceries and shit.
Somebody explain to him where the term Black Friday came
from. Black comes from, record keeping and using blacking.
In the black. Yeah, being in the black. Yeah.
Okay, well, also, the stock market crash of Black Tuesday was Black Tuesday, but they weren't in the black.
Because the world went down the shitter.
That was black in the...
The world was the shit on
it was actually poorly transcribed. It was supposed to be Brown Tuesday.
Because everyone shit themselves.
On that note, I'd like to thank you all for joining us tonight on this very special edition of the post-Thanksgiving White Noise Podcast.
The post-pre-Thanksgiving.
Well, we sincerely hope no major technological disaster or God knows what happens between now and Monday, so we don't sound like idiots by not mentioning it or talking about it. But on this episode, we had veto number 9.
Fucking thing sucks!
Who's having fun with a soundboard.
Love it.
Kaiser Mac had joined us.
It was fun.
Benguin with his ever so awesome reviews.
I'm just so sorry for this episode, everybody listening. We apologize.
And our trusty sidekick, Gonzo Ryder.
I apologize for nothing.
And I was your host. Unfortunately, Configlio Rumpelmeyer doesn't stick very well with people, so I'm permanently stuck with Steven Callis. Configlio just wouldn't stay. But
it's fucking hard to say.
It's Configlio!
You can't even fucking spell it, so it doesn't fucking matter.
But please visit our new and improved website at thewhitenoisepodcast.com, or you could stream all episodes right there, as well as get our show notes, as well as get the links to the iTunes or the Zune or the Feedburner if you want to have an RSS of this podcast. Furthermore, you may follow us on Twitter on our new Twitter account at twitter.com/noisecast. And last but not least, check us out on Facebook, become a fan, like us, search for
The White Noise Podcast. That's three words. The White Noise and Podcast. 1, 2, 3. Search for that on Facebook, and it should be the first option that pops up for you. I want to thank you all for joining us tonight.
My God, the guy's microphone starts working for 5 minutes, and he just won't shut up.
Special thanks to Robot Steven and our special guest, the Skype call girl.
And Bill O'Reilly.
Story, Steven.
All right, guys. Have a wonderful night, and we will see you back here, same time, same place, on the White Noise Podcast.
Adios.
White Noise.